Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. This is the second part of my podcast with the analysis of the CES 2021. If you have not heard the first episode about this one, go back, listen to it, and then come back and listen to this second part. The second part is experience and focus, user experiences in cars. Technology has no consciousness. It becomes good or bad technology through our actions and our decisions. So this is one of the main statements I'm doing in my consultancy work, but also as a keynote speaker. That is the main message. I mean, technology itself is basically neutral. Technology itself is not good or bad in itself. Our behavior, the way we use technology, the way we apply it, the way we use it, that is making a technology good or making a technology bad. So it is about us if a technology is good or bad, because technology in itself has no consciousness. Technology has exceeded the limits of what we can control. So I think there is not a single person on this planet that fully understands every aspect in complete depth of how a computer works, or how a smartphone works, or how a car works. Every single person, every expert understands just a slice of it, just a part of it. But we have these complex artifacts that we have everywhere, and we cannot understand them fully. A single person is not able to understand them under any aspect, and so we may lose the limits of what we can control in technology. Opposed to that, a positive experience that we have in technology is technology connects people. And we see this particularly in the pandemic times, as we have them to these times, these days. We can keep our client activities active. I can still talk to my clients using online tools and calls and video calls, and I can give keynotes to people, to a large number of people using technology, and so it has this very positive aspect, and I can talk to my friends and my family all over the world using technology, not only in pandemic times, but even more in times where we are not allowed to travel, where we're supposed to be locked in at home. And so technology helps us to connect people. The user experience, the UX, needs to be core of any technology development. So technology is not a value in itself. It is not something that just needs to exist. But what we need to do is to improve the experience of people, that we need to make people's lives better faster, safer, easier, or maybe just funnier. But we need to do something with people. We need to give them positive experiences with the technology. Otherwise, it's definitely not of a real value. For cars, this means in the future, these cars will support digital lifestyles. It will be a seamless experience in our digital lives, in our networking activities, in our communication. So we will be independent of the location where we are, and the cars will allow us to continue the digital lifestyle as we are used to it outside the car. It's about ease, it's about entertainment, it's about education, it's about, and that company that gave that keynote used the expression, and I totally love it, and they said it's about experiences per mile. So we need to give users experiences, and instead of fuel consumption per mile or the speed that we have, we need to have experiences per mile. That shall be the focus of thinking in any kind of technologies. I already talked about the idea of the third places, of the places that are neither our home nor our working space, but places we spend time in, where we are ourselves, where we be, where we are human beings. And cars are becoming more and more these third places. And if we get higher levels of automation, if we get supported in driving, we can do more things that we want to do in these third places, like communication, education, entertainment. And so cars are becoming these third places, places to stay, to be besides home and an office. And part of this is the concept of sound bubbles. And I heard this for the first time 2 or 3 years ago in a presentation and in a cooperation I had with a big first-tier supplier, and they talked about these sound bubbles. And I mean, we all know this experience that we are on a bus or in a train or in a plane, and the person besides us makes a phone call, and we can hear 50% of the call, the person besides us talking, and that can be pretty nerve-wracking. And I mean, I personally hate this, and I know that nobody really likes this. And so if you have these, let's say, a shared, more or less autonomous driving vehicles, and then you squeeze in there with 2 or 3 others, and everybody's making a phone call, that can be pretty annoying, or someone listening to music or playing a game. And so the idea of personal sound bubbles, of areas where I have my personal sound environment, that is super attractive, that is super sexy. And these sound bubbles, they have an enormous development potential for application in vehicles. 3 core functions are identified, what a car shall fulfill in the future. The first one is gaming. The time that we sit in cars and do not drive, where we sit and wait, they are constantly growing. We have increasing times where we just wait in a car. And we have the infrastructure, we have the possibilities inside the car to reach a very high level of immersion. So we have displays, we may have pillar-to-pillar displays, large displays, we have audio, we may have even have these audio bubbles, these personalized ones I just talked about. And we have the means of the possibilities for interaction. We can interact with the technology. And so this car environment is a very good one to get high immersion into gaming. We have connectivity. We can play games with other people. So that will be a future use case of cars. Pretty much into the same direction goes the car as a creative space, a space for creativity. So whether it is music, whether it is me recording podcasts, whether it is any other kind of art or work, whether it is multimedia creation of content, all this will be possible in cars of the future. Plus the fact that connected cars will allow the creators to distribute their content to the world. I mean, if you write a song while you sit in a car and you're driven around, or you're standing in a traffic jam and you work on this piece of music, and then you can log in to a platform where you can distribute it with your fans and have a direct connection there, and using the time and the space that you have inside a vehicle to be creative. And there is a high level of focus that we can reach due to the technical possibilities, thanks to all the interaction possibilities, the screens and the audio channels that we have there to create a creative space. And the third core function of a car, a future car, is entertainment. Interactive events, so you can watch a live concert of your favorite band, and you can select songs, you can give feedback, you can get additional information about the artist and their work. And so the car will be a space for that one as well. And if I say there is a core function, I mean the core function besides driving, or if driving by the driver is not required anymore. Because I think we all agree on this one, there are the core function of a car still is driving. The complexity of vehicles, especially of software, will increase enormously. I mean, it has increased over the past years, and we are still in a hockey stick kind of development. So we will have a potential increase of functionalities and complexity of software. For the user experience, it's absolutely critical how this complexity is handled. And this is the complexity of functions, the functional complexity, but also and first of all the complexity of the interaction, so that we can handle the entire complexity with easy to understand, easy to use interaction procedures, and we shall not overwhelm the user in this context. Okay, third part of what I have learned from the various keynotes and visits of digital booths at the CES 2021. Third part is human-machine interfaces, HMIs. And one core tendency that I see is that HMIs grow out of the vehicle. And what does it mean? The first one, there are two points, there are two ideas behind this. The first one is that we get more and more external HMIs. And one of the big three from Detroit had a very nice presentation, very glossy, very impressive, of a show car where they applied external HMIs. basically two reasons. I mean, there was light outside the car, light strips, and various kinds of illumination colors, and basically for two reasons. One is user experience. So I approach my car. It's welcoming me with a brand specific or personalized welcome procedure with a little shows playing for me. And so it's a user experience thing. But an even more important, external HMIs may be used for safety. So the car communicates to its environment what it is doing next, what's coming up, what are the plans of the car. So, I mean, of course, we have indicators, we have brake lights and various things, but we can improve that so that the exterior of the car communicates with other traffic participants, maybe other cars, but pedestrians, bicycle drivers. And so we have this communication, and the external HMIs, and I see there an enormous potential in this area. We are just at the very beginning of a very exciting development to go for external HMI solutions. And the second growth of HMIs out of the vehicle is the increasing number of vehicle functions that I can control from external HMI instances. So, for example, smartphones or PCs, so I can shift, HMIs are leaking out of the car into other devices, and I call this the liquid HMIs. So that they become a little more liquid, and so they you can control certain car functionalities from non-car HMIs. For the foreseeable future, HMIs will be multimodal. Pure button interactions will fade out. We will have them in certain contexts, but we will get a high level of multimodality. People will be able to select the mode of interaction upon their the use context, their personal preferences, whatever is thinkable here. The personalization of the HMI will be central. At the moment, I see a certain amount of personalization, but very often this does not go beyond, well, you can select between the red screen design and the blue screen design and the green screen design. And yeah, you can decide whether you want to have this or that application on the main screen, or, you know, from my point of view, comparably basic stuff that's happening there. And since the complexity of the HMIs, the complexity of in-vehicle technology is constantly growing, we will need to personalize it to personal preferences, personal use cases, to contexts, use contexts of use. So that people will find themselves in the vehicle interaction. Another very interesting aspect is that we have the options to update functions and HMIs after the purchase of the vehicle. So you buy a car and it has a certain amount of functions in it. And if you would have something like an app store where you can upgrade your car over the internet with the wireless, and so that you just upload a new piece of software and you get a new functionality, this will open up enormous opportunities for new business models and new businesses that we have. And this will also allow, I mean, if you buy a used vehicle, you have to take it as it is today. But if you get the chance to update the electronics, the functionality, maybe even the HMI, then this gets a new business model for used car dealers. And so used vehicles will get a higher value for the future owners if you can personalize it by this. To reach this today, some of these technical systems are overspecified to allow hardware and first of all software updates after the purchase. Basically meaning that the UX, the user experience, can be ensured for future use cases and future users. All right, the fourth topic that I found interesting in the CES keynotes is all about artificial intelligence. And those of you following me a longer time on LinkedIn or reading my reports or listening to my podcasts, hearing some one of my keynotes, they know that I have a problem with the term artificial intelligence. I believe intelligence is always natural. So intelligence is tied to nature. And what we call artificial intelligence today is more like machine learning or self-learning software or deep learning. I mean, there are other expressions for that one. But since AI, artificial intelligence, is such a buzzword and everyone is using it, and there is, let's say, a growing commonality in the understanding on a global basis of the term artificial intelligence, well, I will bend down to the mainstream and use the term artificial intelligence. AI often still seems mystical to us and not really real, something far away, maybe far away in the future, far away in space. And to be honest, it's not true. Artificial intelligence is reality. We have it in the backbones of many applications already running. And in different contexts, we use artificial intelligence. So it is there. It's active and it's reality. AI is intended to support people, to improve them, to improve their actions, to improve their decision-making. AI shall not replace humans, but improve them. Today, and this was an interesting learning for me, today artificial intelligence imitates humans. AI learns by analyzing and imitating human behavior. So that's how we teach it, and that's how we bring AI to the next level. In the future, AI will play against itself, and with that, develop completely new strategies. So they did it with various games like chess or with Go games. When they trained an artificial intelligence with human behavior, it imitates human behavior and it takes over human strategies and improves them. But if AI plays against itself, it will develop absolutely new strategies, totally different strategies. And they will probably be mid-long-term much more successful. So it's a new kind of learning that we have for artificial intelligence. The biggest challenge, or as the presenter said, the frontier of HMI so far has been pattern recognition. So the biggest problem was, how can I get an artificial intelligence to recognize visual patterns or acoustic patterns? But first of all, it was about visual patterns. In the future, it will be the recognition, the reading and understanding and the creation of texts. So the handling of texts, reading, understanding them and creating them, That is the new frontier of, or the future frontier of artificial intelligence. In 2 to 5 years, computers will read, understand, and write texts. Other application areas of artificial intelligence are production and automation, the process optimization, optimizing supply chains, but also entertainment and education and training of people. So depending on who I am, how I learn, what I want to do, what my targets are, entertainment and education, training procedures are presented by AI to me. Today, as far as artificial intelligence is concerned, we only see and experience the tip of the iceberg. We do not see all the background today, what's underneath, and we do not see what's what will be there in the future. So all the applications and the use cases, the contexts where we can apply artificial intelligence, they're not visible today. And that will be one of the big improvements, focus points, surprises of technological future. The so-called old-school artificial intelligence is established. It's used for optimization, for clarification. There is still tons of opportunities for improvements, for future developments. But new artificial intelligence, that is deep learning, machine learning, and it is supported by new computing technologies. For example, quantum computing, which will bring the artificial intelligence to totally new levels of applications and success. Another interesting thought that I had not been aware of, but I believe that's totally true. If we install artificial intelligence in all devices and all systems that we have, we get dual use in all these devices. So if my toaster talks to my car, then they both have the chance to spy on me. So if my toaster finds out, oops, Dr. Peter had 5 toasties this morning, the car should not work, he should take the bicycle to the office, to work off a couple of these of the calories. I mean, that's a pretty frightening scenario, isn't it, right? But, I mean, all these devices, they're connected and they transfer and exchange data. And if they have a certain amount of so-called intelligence, then there's a good chance that they can spy on me. So, if artificial intelligence is that good, that prominent, that present, why do we still have so many problems? One is the application of artificial intelligence is not trivial. It's a pretty complex thing. It's a high tech. It requires a lot of brain power, knowledge, and experience just to do it right. What kind of data? What kind of engine? What kind of algorithm? How do I need to feed it? How do I interpret the results I get out of this? So all these aspects are not trivial. So the application of AI is complex and you can make quite some mistakes in it. Data must be collected in large quantities and it must be collected very carefully. At the moment, I am kicking off a project on artificial intelligence in cars and how that influences the car and driver interaction. There are large work packages for the collection of data, and it will be comparably easy to get the main use cases, data on the main use cases collected. The problem I'm seeing is what is about the edge cases? What is about the very seldom cases that I have maybe once a year in a car that must also be solved by the artificial intelligence. So we must be, there must be a very careful and large data collection. And it's not there for every kind of application that we have. Another problem on the data is distorted data. And there was an algorithm to find out that it's racist because it was fed with distorted data. And so we have this data distortion everywhere. And so if you feed this artificial intelligence with distorted data, you will get distorted results. And so that's also not a trivial fact, and we have to take care about this. Then we need to have a limited confidence in the models and in the results. So we should be careful about what these artificial intelligence is doing to us, because we have this distorted data, we have incomplete data. And we may have made mistakes, bugs by setting up the artificial intelligence. So we need to limit our confidence, our trust into artificial intelligence. AI will only solve problems that we are aware of, that we know, and that we have penetrated to a certain amount, that we have understood to a deeper level. So unknown problems are not solvable with artificial intelligence. And of course, there are ethical limits in the application of artificial intelligence. And this is where I see the biggest work package that we need to solve. Okay, so far, that's it. The world sees itself exposed to three big megatrends, according to the CES keynotes, and I agree with them. One is high tech on all levels, ubiquitous technology. So we have it everywhere, and we will see it everywhere. And this is a megatrend that is totally obvious. The second one is climate change. And the third one is globalization. Those are the three megatrends that will influence our thinking and acting in the next years. The half-life of skills, of knowledge, is constantly falling. It's getting smaller, almost on a daily basis. So training and lifelong learning are essential for our future. We need to establish just-in-time learning. That is a trend that we need to have in focus. And also companies must become learning spaces. So people need to learn wherever they are, and just-in-time learning needs. I need a skill, I need knowledge, I learn it, and then I apply it right after. Technology penetrates our lives more and more, and more areas of our lives, and it's penetrating us deeper and deeper, our businesses, our everyday lives, and it is growing on our bodies, and it will go into our bodies, so we have a growing penetration of technology. The technology we create should serve the world, humanity, and every single human, and not be an end in itself, not being totally free of value. All right, quick summary. I talked about four aspects of the keynotes and the big booths of the CES 2021. One was the aspects of mobility, where the focus on the CASE mantra, connected, autonomous, shared, and electric. The second is the future user experiences in cars. What applications do we see in future cars? What experiences do we see there? With the term experiences per mile that I totally like. I talked about automotive HMIs, where they go to. And I had a couple of thoughts on artificial intelligence. A remark at the end. I hope for a real and analog CES in 2022. I want to travel to Las Vegas. I want to see and experience all the craziness. I want to be there. The digital meeting is okay-ish, but the real thing cannot be replaced. I want to meet people by chance, just walking down the hallway and seeing them. I want to meet people after an appointment, with an appointment. I want to absorb the atmosphere of madness. I want to go out for a good meal. I want to hang around with friends and business partners in bars. I want to visit concerts. And one thing I'm always doing when I'm in Las Vegas, I want to go hiking in the desert. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care and stay healthy.